Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 14th chapter of St. John, the Gospel text, which has already been read. Be seated. It's like we're going to be headed west next month. California. Never been. So how do you suppose we're going to get to California? Well, to drive, you go right out here and get on the Lincoln Highway. Head east through Clinton, Morrison, over to Indiana, and eventually you'll get there. It's a good road. It's familiar. Been driving all my life. Or I suppose you can take Route 6, get on Kimberly, head east, follow the signs. IE is a good road, and skirt around Chicago. Or maybe just take 61, head up to Dubuque, and it's four lane all the way to Green Bay and even to Door County. Our niece, Jill, thank her for Google Maps. She's getting married. Northern California near San Francisco. Amtrak goes there. So I think you probably get on to Princeton. You're riding on the city of New Orleans down to the Gulf of Mexico. From there, we've been wanting to go northeast. And it might be fun to ride the train over to London. Go through the channel over to Paris. That might be fun too. But I know what you're thinking. I'm just kidding. We're not going to take the train. She's Greek Orthodox. I've never been to a Greek Orthodox wedding. I hear they're pretty cool. And you know that there's no way we're going to pay more money to take the train. We bought our plane tickets a couple months ago. And you know the drill. Just go to Moline. We'll go to Cedar Rapids. Planes all look the same pretty much. So you pick a plane, any plane, and that plane will take us to Jill's wedding in Stockton, California. I know what you're thinking. And I don't know if Victoria Barkley and the rest of them have been invited to the wedding or not. The word is troubled. And we hear that word a lot from this text, mostly at funerals, and this is a favorite text for funerals. And every 3 years on a Sunday morning where Jesus tells Christians not to be troubled, don't be troubled, stop being troubled. And we might use words like agitated or confused. Stop it. We saw the word a couple weeks ago in Luke 24. Jesus appearing to those Christians holed up in that room. They didn't know what to make of it. They were agitated, stirred up, confused, troubled in heart. So when you tell somebody who's clearly agitated to stop being agitated, how does that work for you? So we're journeying here back in time, Holy Week, Maundy Thursday. And Jesus, right before this, has told them that he's going away and you can't come with. And there they are confused and agitated. He tells them to stop it. When you tell somebody to take it easy or stop it, you know what the agitated person is going to want to know. Why? Why should I not be troubled? Why should I not be upset or terrified at fill in the blank? Fill in the blank, and it's always something, isn't it? Take it easy. Because. Stop being upset. And this is why you should stop that. Stop your fretting, Jesus says, because I am three things. The way or road, the truth, and the life. So you can stop it. The I am there is what God said from the burning bush when Moses asked him, who are you? What's your name? God said, I am. And here Jesus says, I am the way, the road, the path you take to get from one location to the other. And roads are as old as mankind, and even the animals know about roads or paths, and not all roads are the same. After the fall into sin, when God told Adam and Eve, you hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back to the garden, they took the path that went out of the garden, not the path that went into another part of it. When God called Abraham to go from one specific place, he led him to a different place, a place that was unknown to Abraham. How I get there, he didn't know he was going. But God did. And Abraham followed God. And God promised him descendants and land, and that through him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And it was a very specific land that God gave to Abraham. And the path to that land was a long and winding road that would bring them right back to that very place where Abraham was. That road would pass through Egypt for 400 years. And then that road would head east across the Red Sea. Then take a left, wind around the Mediterranean Sea. Like all eastbound traffic winds around Lake Michigan and Chicago, Mount Sinai, and then you'll come to Canaan. And you can't miss it. Can't miss it. And that was really fairly easy to get from Egypt to Canaan. But as is often the case, they made it hard. Not believing that the God who had defeated the world's lone superpower, Egypt, being afraid of those big people in Canaan, they were compelled to wander aimlessly, with a complete lack of destination for 40 years. Of course, you recall God was leading them, the cloud by day, the fire by night. God knew the way out of the wilderness, back to the promised land. From there, that word, the way, or the road, or the path, and its Old Testament Hebrew equivalent, derek, occurs 706 times, the way, in the Old Testament. That's a lot of times. 706 times, the way, or the path. And that concept of the Christian life as a journey, or a walk, that concept has roots that are both deep and old, and not all roads are the same. In Genesis 6:12, one of those 706 occurrences in the New Testament, God tells Noah to build an ark because he had observed that the earth was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way, their walk, their path. On the earth, not all roads are the same. The earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And you know, there is a road in life. It's the road less traveled that is good and excellent. That's the road you want to be on. Deuteronomy, Moses talks about that, 5:33, at the Sinai rest stop. Right after delivering the Ten Commandments to Israel through Moses, God says, you shall walk in all the ways, which the Lord God has commanded you. And then a promise, a reason, a rationale, that you may live long, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you possess. And I observe that's the case. If you obey the Ten Commandments, the better you do that, generally, the better your life's going to be. And if you disregard them, you're probably going to have more problems. And if you had to summarize the entire Old Testament journey of Israel, they are occasion for short periods. Some of them took the road less traveled, the good road, mostly. Mostly we find them rocking down the highway to hell. And the last occurrence of that word in the Old Testament, Malachi 3:1, God is speaking. He says, behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way, or the road, before me. I will send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And in the second New Testament occurrence of that word, the road, First one was when Joseph took the Holy Family over to Egypt. The second occurrence is John the Baptist, the apostle, quoting John the Baptizer, who says of himself, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord." And you have heard how, when important people in those days were going to be coming through, you would work on the road, flatten the valleys and the hills, remove the curves, and make straight the road for the Lord. So it's Maundy Thursday. He's going away. And Peter, right before this, wants to know, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus tells him, "You can't come with," not just yet, but later on, "you can't come with." And Peter said that he would die for Jesus. And Jesus told Peter, "You will lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times." And right after that exchange, that's what troubled them, agitated them to the very core of their being, in their hearts. So he tells them, stop being agitated. Stop being confused. And this is why not. And he speaks to these Christians as if they are Christians. This is not a command to believe in me. It's the indicative mode, we call it. This is the way it is. The way it is. You believe in God. You believe also in me. And that's why you should stop being agitated. And it's always something to be agitated about, isn't it? Even for the Christian. They should not be agitated. That's why. Because you are a Christian. Peter talks about that, what it means to be a Christian. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You're a Christian. And as such, you know, firstly, foremost, and fundamentally, how this thing ends. There's a house. And it's a very large house. And in that house, there are many rooms. And he is, even as we speak, preparing a room for you. And then, Peter, "I'm coming back for you, and I'm coming back for all of you." And inquisitive Thomas inquires, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. What's your destination? How can we know the way, the road? If we don't know the address or the GPS coordinates for your destination, how is the phone going to tell us to get there?" And Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me." And Thomas, "You are in the road." He says, "I'm the road. I'm the road. The road to get to the destination, which is heaven. And there's no other way to get there except by Jesus." And it's significant that the next word out of his mouth is truth. Not everybody believes that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. The thesis is this, a statement. It's either true or false. The statement, Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. It's either true or it's false. Either there is one way to get to heaven, or there are many ways to get to heaven. And I think we know what the culture says. I think we know what the culture says when it comes to that. We know what the culture says, and it's easier to go along with the culture, harder to stand with Jesus, especially on that one, and some churches have caved. You want to know what the culture thinks? You might want to look at Facebook. This past week, somebody, not you, quoted the Bible, quote, "There are many roads to heaven." Somebody else, not me, corrected her. Jesus didn't say there are many roads to heaven. Jesus says there are many flocks, but only one road to heaven. And Jesus does indeed say that there are many flocks. But he did not mean that he has a Buddhist flock over here, and a Hindu flock over there, and a Rastafarian flock and a Wiccan flock, and all of these flocks make up one sheepfold. He means flocks of Christians, each of them with his own, with their own shepherd, under the good shepherd. And when it comes to proclaiming the truth, not all shepherds are the same. I've heard it said several times over the past couple months, crisis does not create things, but often crisis does reveal things, exacerbate things that have been there all along. And I have known for a long time that our religion is under attack in this country. Well, I know what state religion looked like for the ancient Romans. In every society, look around. The Christians brought freedom of religion, and the First Amendment, Bill of Rights, says we have it, but it's under attack. And we don't have state religion right now, but we're kind of headed in that direction. And did you know that the Illinois governor said that the churches may not be meeting for a year or more just across the river? In the state religion current in our country, and by that I mean the common religion, the accepted religion, the things that people kind of agree with, in that sort of religion, we were not created, but we evolved into humans. And other views like yours, and this is important, are not tolerated. Try to get a job at a state school, university, being pro-life, being pro-creation. Science, our religion says, will guide us. Science will save us. And those are not my words, but I've heard a lot of people say things like that lately. And other views, and this is important, are not tolerated. The afterlife? Well, let's not talk about that. And why are you Christians so obsessed with that and not making this world a better place? Well, we Christians who believe that Jesus and the Bible speak truth, we are in fact tolerant of other views. We really are. We are the ones who are willing to coexist, and we do. Look at the natural man in his natural state. It's not pretty. Look at the Western world before Jesus. Or look at all today's world outside the church and you make the call. Where is life better? Here or in, let's say, the Middle East or maybe China? And we don't always follow the way perfectly. We're criticized by the world, who then turn around and imitate us because they want us to know that we atheists are as good as you Christians. We can do good works too. That's a different motive from ours. You want to know why we do what we do? Well, we are who we are. And we talk like we talk. And we do what we do because that's how Christians are. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. And we believe the truth because it's good to believe the truth. It's not good to believe falsehood, and there's a lot of falsehood out there. And not all religions are the same. You can follow the yellow brick road, thinking you're headed for the large house, but you end up in the Emerald City, still the same. And the road to Shambhala always ends up in Shambhala. There's only one road that leads to that house with many rooms, and Jesus says, I am the way, the road, the truth, and the life. And you can go to Moline or Cedar Rapids and pick out a plane, they all look the same, to take you to San Francisco. And you might think that's where you're headed, because that's where you want to go, but probably it's not, and you're not. And you can tell yourself that there's a good chance that Amtrak is going to go to London and then through the Tunnel to Paris, but it's not. And you're not even going to get a sniff of the West Coast by heading north on Highway 61. No, not all roads lead to heaven, and most of them lead, all the rest of them lead to the place where you don't want to go. And Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when it comes right down to it, that's a fundamental desire of every living being. We want to keep on living. We want to keep on living. And like we noted last week, some people are afraid to die. And that's only natural for the natural man who doesn't want to die, but who wants to live. In fact, we've heard this before, we are the only species who know from very early on that we're going to die. We know that. And yet, we are able to spend most of our lives not thinking much about death. I don't think about death very much, but we all know that this thing ends. And I think one of the reasons why people avoid the funeral, visitation is easier. And if I go to a funeral, there's going to be eulogies. Or if I go over to Grandma and that pastor, there's probably going to talk about death and stuff. Funerals make us think about death. And so does this thing. They put a good scare into us. Made a lot of people scared to death about death. I saw a nice little thing on Facebook while I was scrolling through the other stuff. It said, fear does not stop death. It stops life. And worry does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. And if you are, then Jesus says to Christians like you, quit. Stop being confused. Stop being agitated. Stop being troubled. And He gives you a reason why. And it's always something, isn't it? Something to fear. Something at which to be agitated, from which to be confused and troubled about, friends in Christ. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. You also believe in Jesus. You are Christians. And you know the way. You know the road. And no matter how it twists and turns and up and down, the destination is that house. The one with many rooms. One of them for you. Amen. Peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.